episode of Netflix and Actually Chill. I'm Amy Carney.
And I am Johnny Hunt.
So as per usual, I'm just going to do a few social media shout-outs. We are on Instagram at Netflix and Actually Chill and on Twitter at @actually_chill. It took us long enough to get on here, didn't it?
It did take a little bit of a while. Bit of technical difficulties. Yep, it took a while. Almost threw my tablet out the window, but no, we're fine now.
Is this the first time you're using a tablet for this?
For this, it is, yeah. Normally I use my phone, but my phone has this ability of falling over halfway through I'm saying something.
That's always fun to watch. Then we have to go, what are we saying again? And then carry on.
Yeah, pretty much. I've got a tablet now and I can actually see a big screen. It's quite nice.
Yeah, so we're all ready to go. I mean, I apologise to everyone that was waiting on the episode on Sunday, the episode that didn't actually appear, because it was supposed to come up on the Sunday, but I have unfortunately had a bit of a sore throat, haven't I, Johnny?
You have, yeah, she sounded a little bit like Phil Mitchell.
I still do, but because I'm recording in the afternoon, it's a lot better than what it would have been if we were recording this morning. It would have been very, very bad. We're hoping that you did get through our last episode. It was a bit political, but we're hoping that you are still spreading the message that black lives do matter, not that they don't matter, which is what some people have been trying to, spread, which really does get on my nerves. But So we're back in business, and today we are going to be discussing Hollywood.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Ever since we watched Hollywood a few weeks ago, I keep saying to Johnny, I'm so excited to talk about Hollywood. I'm so excited to talk about Hollywood, because I know I keep saying all these shows are my favourite, like Lock and Key, and yeah, it was one of my favourites, but this one for me was like, honestly, I was so blown away by Hollywood.
Yeah, I know, AJ, it was brilliant, mate. It was, and it's, again, it's such an important message, again, about how racism in Hollywood, how bad it was, and how people do anything just to get a bit of fame. Shocking and fantastic at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I binged it in 2 days. I really loved the opening sequence as well, and normally I tend to skip it. So you know when it comes up and it says, skip the opening thing. I never skipped it because I thought it was really beautifully shot.
Yeah, and it's also very poignant as well, isn't it? You know, how they're all climbing. But it is how Hollywood was, wasn't it, back then? How black people were treated differently to how white people were treated.
Ryan Murphy, the creator, I feel like he did a really good job of showing people what the late 40s sort of era of Hollywood was like in terms of people being discriminated against, but it also shone a light on what could have been, and I really loved that twist.
But there's so many different stories involved, wasn't there? Like each character had this different, not episode about them as such, but there was different, each character had a good amount of time on their story, if you know what I mean.
And I was looking at reviews for Hollywood online, and I was really shocked actually, because a lot of people are saying, the big Netflix review websites and stuff, they're all saying that it wasn't very good because there were so many different characters to focus on. But that for me was what I really liked about it. I liked seeing all of their different struggles in different ways in this big entertainment industry.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, there were a lot of characters in this, but I don't know, I think it was, you could pick and choose who you wanted. You know, there were certain characters I weren't particularly interested in, but there were some that I was. So, like, you listen to all the stories, but there were some characters that you kind of get involved with, don't you, and kind of invest in their struggles.
In case we haven't gone into the background of what this series is actually about, if you haven't seen it, I suggest you do go and watch it before you listen on, because we will be talking about the spoilers and stuff. But this show is basically about post-World War II Hollywood and a group of ambitious young people who are aspiring actors and actresses and filmmakers and all sorts of stuff. And it's all about how they get into this industry that is so hard to get into. And it's all about how difficult it was for certain people, depending on gender, race, sexuality, all that sort of stuff. And it's all about the creatives behind it as well, isn't it? And their relationships with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And how tough some of these directors and producers were. They weren't very nice people, and they were quite brutal with who they pick and chose to either lead a film or direct a film or even produce a film.
Yeah, and I'm such a big fan of all the old school golden age Tinseltown sort of stuff. That's how they refer to it, don't they, in the opening sequence, like Tinseltown and everything. And I loved how spot on they got the sets, the props, the costumes. It all looked so legit, didn't it? Even though it wasn't in black and white. I really, really loved it, and I'm really looking forward to diving in with Johnny and really talking about all these characters. And
yeah, no, it was really good. I can't recommend it enough, actually. It was very good, actually.
So this series kicks off with a character called Jack, who is played by David Corenswet. I hope I've got that surname right. But he is basically an ex-serviceman with big, big dreams. He lines up at the Ace Studios every single day, doesn't he? Because he wants to be an extra and he wants to get his foot in the door.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. And it takes him ages to get picked, doesn't it? Like he's there all the time and has no joy until one day he's finally picked.
He's always there at the front, isn't he? And I think the casting director, the woman comes out every day and she knows him. She knows that he's always there every single day. They always lock eyes, don't they? And she's
No,
not you. Not you today. I think she said to him, because you're too much of a pretty boy, or didn't she say to him at one point?
Yeah, they were saying like that. And he's a very good looking man as well, actually. You know, he's a pretty boy, I suppose. That's why you could look at him.
Yeah, and I think they were worried that he was just a good looking guy with not really a lot to offer in terms of talent. But then we soon find out that he is actually very talented, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's a very good actor in it as well. And yeah, again, he's a character you kind of invest in his story, because like you feel sorry for him. He's like, someone just pick him, please. He's absolutely desperate.
He's married and he has a baby on the way as well, doesn't he? And they're struggling financially, aren't they? Because they want to move and they can't get a mortgage or something.
Yeah, that's right. Because they go to the bank, don't they? And they ask him how much he's got in his account or something like that. And it's like, oh, I've got $20 coming or something, and they're like, you're gonna buy a mortgage with $20, and then it's like, come back another time or whatever they say.
He was like the stereotypical, I haven't got much money but I'm gonna be an actor, and you know, and they're all just like, yeah, all right, Jack, but
yeah, all right, pal. Yeah, he was a bit like that. You do feel a bit sorry for him after like the fifth or sixth time he's still waiting at the gate.
Yeah, so he waits and waits and waits. He doesn't get picked. And then one day he goes to the bar and he drowns his sorrows with a good old drink, like most people do. And he bumps into a guy called Ernie, played by Dylan McDermott. And Ernie was one of my favourite characters in this series.
Yeah, man. He's definitely a character, wasn't he? Yeah, he had a story to tell. And yeah, some of the scenes, some of the things he came out with were very amusing, actually, Ernie.
Even he was quite a good-looking guy, wasn't he? Even though he was a lot older.
Apparently he's embracing his silver fox look. That's what he was doing.
He definitely has that silver fox thing going on, doesn't he? I was like, yeah, he's been around the block a few times. So he is the owner of a gas station, and he basically recruits Jack to come and work for him because Jack said, oh, you know, I'm struggling, I've got a baby on the way, my wife's getting fed up with me, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, well, come and work with me and I'll help you with some cash. And he just goes there, doesn't he, thinking he's just going to be working there for a bit of extra money. And it took a very interesting turn. And I remember messaging Johnny going, this got interesting very quickly.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming. And it's like, yeah, when someone comes in, their car comes along and says, take me to Tinseltown, is that what they say?
He basically recruits a bunch of good-looking young men to work at this gas station, and it's basically he's pimping them out, really. Women young and old, they drive along, they park, and it looks like they're getting petrol. And actually, they're saying to them, I want to go to Dreamland.
Dreamland, that was it.
Yeah, which you can probably guess what that means. So they get in the car with them. And they go and have a bit of sexy time together.
Yeah. it might sound far-fetched. People go, no way. But you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if that is kind of loosely based on a real story, because it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, how people take advantage of people going, well, if you want a bit of cash, you'll do anything for cash. If you've got a family on the way, you'd kind of do anything to help out, wouldn't you, really?
I did look into this whole gas station thing, and it was actually something that happened quite a lot, and I was quite surprised. So I think Ryan Murphy did do his research, because this was based on stuff that did actually happen. They did have gas stations where they'd pull up and then they'd drive off and have a bit of fun, and then that's how they earned their money for their families and stuff. So yeah, and then we meet Avis, who is played by one of my favourite divas, Patti LuPone. I thought it was good, actually, that they had an older woman that, like, was expressing her sexuality. Because normally it's, like, a younger woman, isn't it? When she pulls up, she's like, I want to go to Dreamland. That's, like, the best line in the whole thing.
That was a very good impression, actually, mate. I like that. You've been practising, haven't you? You've been practising. Yeah.
I've been practicing for when I pull up in a in a petrol station nearby.
Yeah, take me to Dreamland. What, Margate?
Yeah, Margate is a
lovely place.
Yeah, let's just leave it at that. moving on. Avis ends up being one of Jack's favourite clients. I say that inverted commas, and then he realises that she wanted to become a movie star at a young age, didn't she? And she was told she was too Jewy or something.
Too Jewish, wasn't it? Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, and then you see, oh, okay, so she's a bit bitter about the whole Hollywood thing. She was married, wasn't she, to the big guy, the big boss, the studios.
Yeah, it wasn't Ace, was it? That was his name, wasn't it? Ace. His name?
Yes, it must have been. Yeah. But so she was married to the big boss, and I think she'd got a bit fed up of their marriage, hadn't she? Didn't she say they weren't having sex anymore and he was off doing his own thing? Yeah.
It was a bit like that, and he didn't listen to her, did he? He's kind of like his own man sort of thing. Being a typical bloke, really, kind of not listening and doing your own thing.
So he keeps doing that, and then one day Ernie says, right, I want you to come around the corner and you're going to get in a car with Cole Porter, who was a famous musician at the time, or pianist or songwriter or something like that. He was very big back then, so he was a real person. And Jack sort of says, oh, I'm not doing that, because it's a bloke, isn't it? And that's how we find out it's actually primarily a gay gas station, isn't it?
I felt for Jack then. I was like, what would I do in that situation? Because, like, you're desperate for cash. What do you do? You know what I mean? It's like, it's a difficult one, that.
But that's when he decides to go off and recruit someone on his behalf, doesn't he?
Yeah, loved Archie. What a lovely bloke.
But to be gay back then was very looked down upon, and especially if you were a black gay man, it was like the world had ended.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's horrific, really. I mean, I can't imagine how difficult it would have been for a black man, let alone a gay black man, to not have been able to get anywhere because of his sexuality and being black. It must have been horrific.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, I think Ryan Murphy, the creator, he wanted to make a Hollywood how he wished it would have been, how it would have been more inclusive than what it actually was. And a lot of reviewers have been slating it for that reason, but I actually really liked how he did that, because it made you see what could have been. When I think of Hollywood, I always think of the golden age of Hollywood. I don't think of what it is like now. I always think of like my favourites, like Audrey Hepburn, Judy Garland, Debbie Reynolds, Gene Kelly. You know, like when you think of Hollywood and they're just the classic Hollywood movie stars. I don't know, the movies were very different, weren't they, back then to what they're like now?
Yeah, because of course the money wasn't as big as it is now. I mean, films can be hundreds of millions to make now, but back then it was very little, wasn't it?
Yeah, and even when you see the bits where they're filming all these scenes and stuff, and one little thing that they could have changed in the present day really quickly, they were like, oh, this is going to take weeks to repair and all this stuff. Do you remember when they had to do the scaffolding scene and he comes in and he goes, what the hell?
$25,000 to change it or something silly like that, wasn't it? And it was like all the budget of the film's gone. That whole thing about the, what was the film? Was it Peg, wasn't it, the film?
Yeah, so it was going to be Peg, and then they changed it to Meg, didn't they?
Yeah, and it's again because of race, wasn't it? Because they didn't want the person who made it to get any credit for it, really. And it's really sad.
And what I did like about Hollywood as well was that they incorporated stars that were actually stars back in Hollywood. Like you had Rock Hudson as an actual character, and he was an actor back then. But then you had all these fictionalized characters as well, didn't you? And it was like a make-believe world of what could have been, but then you had people that were actually involved in that industry as well.
Like Rock Hudson. I mean, I did a little bit of research on him a while ago, and he was gay, wasn't he? But he was married and stuff like that. He was a massive star back then, massive.
But going back to what we said earlier as well about the film Meg, so it was originally going to be called Peg, and they wanted to cast a young white woman who was a typical Hollywood star with the typical Hollywood look.
Yeah, that typical white blonde haired pretty girl, wasn't it? He probably couldn't actually act at all.
So we meet Camille Washington, who is a black aspiring actress, and she is played by Laura Harrier, and her boyfriend is Raymond Ainsley, isn't it? We talked about him a little bit before. He was also an aspiring director, wasn't he?
He wanted to be
the next big thing in film. Yeah, he's played by Darren Criss, who has been in Glee and American Horror Story. I did recognise his face, and I was a bit like, oh, I know where he's from, I think. But yeah, I had to look into it. Yeah, I really liked their relationship as a couple, because it was an interracial relationship, wasn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, for a white man to go out with a black girl back then, you know, on the red carpet and stuff, it was horrific. They used to get abuse. And I must admit, the girl who plays Camille Washington, she's absolutely fantastic in this. She's an absolute star in it. She's brilliant, absolutely fantastic. And she probably knocks it out of the park, actually. I think she's probably the biggest star of the whole thing, in my opinion, anyway.
And I absolutely love the scene where, I think it's more towards the end of the series, when she actually makes it big. And she is in this big blockbuster film, and it gets nominated for an Oscar, doesn't it, towards the end? And so she goes in with Raymond Ainsley on her arm and everyone else that was involved in the film. And they walk the red carpet together and they get to the front. And then doesn't the guy say, oh, Camille, you can't come in because you're black. If you win, you'll have to wait and then you'll have to accept your award afterwards, or it was something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just heartbreaking, because you think, so if you put all that effort into being an actress and got all them barriers to finally get a major part, and then to be told, hey, if you win, you're not actually allowed to get it because the colour of your skin. It's just horrific, really.
It's awful though, isn't it? Because you think to be nominated for an Academy Award is like one of the highest honours of the night, especially when you win Best Actress or Best Actor. And it's like the biggest award of the night, isn't it? Apart from the Best Picture one. Just to imagine being in her shoes. She's worked so hard to get to where she needs to be, all through these barriers and everything. And then to be told, you know, even though you've been nominated for one of the biggest awards of the night, you can't come in because of the colour of your skin. And I think she said something, didn't she? She said, if you don't let me in, I'm gonna shout or something, didn't she? She said something like that, didn't she? And they went, I think she had a bit of a diva moment, but it was, you know, good on her. Let me in.
It was quite a powerful. Was it her done a speech as well? Was it her done a speech?
Yeah, I wrote it down. So her acceptance speech, I really, really loved it. And yeah, so she wins the award and she goes up and she says, when I was a little girl walking down the street, I was called a lot of things. Movie star wasn't one of them. And that just sums up the whole thing, doesn't it?
That speech was awesome. And I had a little tear in my eye when she said it, because it was like, you can imagine a black actress actually saying that.
I mean, they do now, don't they? But back then, it would have been the strangest thing for the announcer to say, oh, Camille Washington, because it just wouldn't have happened. She wouldn't have been nominated anyway. It would have been all white female movie stars, and that would have been it, really.
Yeah, and when she won, if I remember rightly, I think the crowd started booing, didn't they, I think?
Yeah. But I do remember watching it, and you had all the black families watching it on their little box TVs, didn't you? And you had all the little black girls sat there watching it, like, all hopeful and stuff. I love that.
It's so weird how everything's going on in the world at the moment is... You can imagine people like watching that at home, like all the awards ceremonies that happen these days of all the black actors and actresses that win awards. You can imagine all the little boys and girls watching it from home being inspired by it, can't you?
Yeah, and being like, actually, I can win an Academy Award or, you know, whatever it might be, to actually see someone on TV. So, yeah, I really like that scene. One of the scenes that was really touching, though, was when Archie was told that he couldn't, even though he'd wrote the screenplay, his name wouldn't appear in the credits. And I cried at that bit. It was so sad.
Yeah, and it was his face, wasn't it? And it was just like, yeah, you know, we're going to take your idea, but we're not only going to not have your name on it, we're going to change your name as well, I think, wasn't it? And it was just like, so they've taken my idea, and I'm not even going to get any credit for it. And it was just... Yeah, I know what you mean. And I think it's also the music, wasn't it? Because there's quite some somber music in the background when he got told. And he was just like, oh, this is deep.
Yeah, it's just so sad. And you can just imagine how it must have felt.
You can imagine being in, just how I envisioned it. Like, imagine being like in a smoky room full of white people, and then they're just demanding drinks and whatever. And you go, and you can imagine some of the words that they described these people. They weren't going, oh, excuse me, can I have a drink, please? You can only imagine what they had to deal with. I imagine it was horrific.
Well, they were all big movie moguls, weren't they? And they were quite intimidating, and you wanted to please them. And like even things like the casting couch, it was a thing. We've seen from the Me Too movement that it definitely was a thing. And unfortunately, it was still happening. But, you know, it shows how much power these people have in these big industries.
Yeah, I mean, they're almost, well, they're not now, thank God for that, but they all come across as untouchable, don't they? You look at people in the past, you know, the Harvey Weinsteins of this world who've done some absolutely horrific things, and, you know, thank God for the Me Too movement that he's now hopefully behind bars the rest of his life. But it's not just him, people like Jeffrey Epstein, who we'll talk about another time, but these people who are so powerful and effectively untouchable, but they're not untouchable anymore, which is good.
Yeah, and it's just a shame that these aspiring actresses and even actors, because actors have been doing it as well, feel like to get a role, they have to do these things. And thankfully now they don't, but back then it really was what you probably would have had to have done to get in.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're pointing out, if you're a young black man or black woman or even a young white man, you know, if you're desperate for a role and these people had so much power, they could literally tell you to do anything. And if you're that desperate for stardom and fame, you will probably do it because you're desperate to provide for your family, aren't you?
It pretty much was sleep with me. And if you don't, then you can forget about a career because I can find another girl to do it with.
Yeah, because you won't do it, but there's 10 girls behind you who will. And, you know, and that's so wrong, isn't it? It's so wrong when you actually think about it.
So we've spoken about the star of the series, the star of the show, Camille Washington. But I feel like we need to talk about the big star of all. Take it away, Johnny, because I am lost for words at how amazing he was.
Jim Parsons, who, a.k.a. Sheldon. Wow. It's a unbelievable performance. And when I first watched the trailer, you know, when you see someone, you go, is that Sheldon? I think it can't be Sheldon because, you know, you can't... I thought he can't be a serious actor because he's in that one programme we all know. But my God, what a performance in that. And he was nasty. He was funny. Just, but he was nasty. There's no denying it. Nasty piece of work, but brilliant.
He was brutal, wasn't he? But the thing is, it was believable. You believe that he played Henry, didn't he? Henry Wilson. He was playing like a big movie star casting agent that always got these people that were starting their careers out into these massive films. And he basically was saying throughout the whole series, if you work with me, you're going to be a big name. And
And the thing that actually shocked me the most is when Henry Wilson, when you hear Sheldon say the C word, and I was like, I've never thought I'd ever hear this word come out of Jim Parsons' mouth. And it did.
The thing is, though, he is Sheldon. And like when I saw him, I went, oh, that's Sheldon from Big Bang. And, you know, I'm not a huge Big Bang fan, really. I mean, I've watched a few of them, like when they've been on TV and stuff, and I can appreciate that it's good. But I'm not a huge fan. And when I saw him in this, I didn't even think of Sheldon. I was just like, this guy, he has completely broken away from that, hasn't he? And I think he wants to be taken seriously now as a serious contender for big projects.
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, when he first came on the thing, I was thinking, you know, he's going to play someone not... I was not expecting that from Jim Parsons, and it was what a performance. Camille Washington is probably star of the show, but he's up there as well, because it was just a brutally fantastic performance the whole way through. It was brilliant.
He wasn't the most powerful man in that industry, but he knew how to manipulate people into thinking that he was... And if you didn't do things for me, then I can't do this for you. It was that sort of thing, wasn't it? You know, it was so savage. And I was just like, this is how I can picture Hollywood being, though. Like this cutthroat, you know, you go into an office and he's got his whiskey and it's like, you know, if you don't do this with me, then I'm not going to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, it was just that one scene with, was it Jack? I think it might have been Jack, and he's sitting down and he's like taking his clothes off. He goes, you can suck my cock. And it was like, what? I can't, did you just say that? And he was like, if you don't, you can F off. And it was like, wow. And it was just, it was so brutally done. It was, oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, that was it, because he was gay, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And obviously there was a lot of issues with that, you know, being so involved in Hollywood and everything. Did he shout it from the rooftops, or did everyone just assume he was gay? And because I feel like he kind of kept it to himself for a while, but that's how he got all these big male actors into, like, you know, he put their name up in bright lights, didn't he? Because they'd slept with him and all this stuff.
And, he was just like, I can make you, but I can break you, so don't fuck with me, wasn't it? No, pardon the French, but that is pretty much how it was, wasn't it? I can make you, but also break you.
Yeah, and as I said before, it was so believable, and it's how I imagined it to be. And you walk in and you think, if I don't walk out with a deal with this guy, I'm screwed. But at the same time, you're still intimidated by him, aren't you?
And yeah, because it's he had the presence, didn't he, of this really powerful man. You could just tell the way his whole aura of Henry Wilson was just like, well, I better do what he wants because I want to be a star, and then he can make me a star.
And he, even though he was an agent and he was a powerful agent, he still seeked more power, didn't he? Because I feel like he wanted to go up in the ranks, and he wanted to become a big director, didn't he? And then he got that role because he went, actually, I'm going to direct this film. And they were all like, what?
Yeah, sorry, pal, what you say? You're laughing, yeah?
But I loved every single time he walked into a scene. I just knew it was going to be a good scene.
Yeah, and it's really weird to see Jim Parsons as that sort of actor now, because, like, you know, you get some actors who come into a scene and they've got that... It kind of reminds me of like a Denzel Washington sort of aura. They kind of own that scene, don't they? And that's how kind of I got with Jim Parsons the whole way through it. He's kind of, he walked into a scene and he had that aura of I'm the man. It was phenomenal, really was.
He had so much presence, didn't he?
Presence, that's the right word, yeah, presence.
As he walked in, it was like, right, I'm here. And, you know, I've spoken about Patti LuPone being a diva and that, but he was on another level, wasn't he, of diva? And I think he loved that. And he walked in and he was like, no, I'm here. But I feel like Jim Parsons, he doesn't want to be typecast now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it'd be very difficult now for him to do another comedy series, wouldn't it? Because, you know, I think he's, as you say, he broke out of Big Bang now. And I think he's gone from there to there. And I don't think he can go back down, because I think, yeah, he's got a, well, it's down to him, isn't it, I suppose? But I think he's a massive actor now.
I was absolutely blown away by his performance. And do you remember when he said to Jack, can you do this? And I think he said, no, sod off or something. And then he was like, right, okay, bye then. Like, he didn't care. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, like you get certain series where like there's a certain character that you will always stick in your memory. Like he reminds me of the performance. I don't know if you've ever seen The Sopranos with James Gandolfini in it. It's got that sort of aura, and like whenever he comes on the screen, you know that it's going to be a good scene. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to compare Jim Parsons to James Gandolfini, because it's completely different, but that's how I kind of see it, if you know what I mean.
But I loved his character though, even though he was a terrible character, wasn't he, really? He was so nasty, so controlling, so mean, and but sometimes they're the best ones. And I think, you know, it's obviously because he's got something going on, and then we found out that he's actually gay and suffering inside us. But there were so many different layers to him as a character, wasn't there? There was like the really brutal moments, and then there was the more soft side, and then there was the hilarious comedy side of him. And yeah. I just loved him.
Yeah, no, it was a brilliant performance from Jim Parsons. As you say, he had so many different layers. He had a little soft side as well. He had a horrible side. He was just an all round. It was faultless, I'd say.
Mm. Yeah, we absolutely loved Jim Parsons. Let us know what you thought of Hollywood. I hope that you really liked it and you're not like all of these critics that are saying that it was rubbish when it wasn't.
You know, just because they don't like it doesn't mean that it's no good. Like, there's numerous things I like on Netflix where it's got that percentage thing of like maybe 68%, but I might really like it and go, well, just, who are you to tell me that I won't like it?
Why are you assuming that I will hate this show and love this show? I'm a bit like that. I'm like, don't tell me what to do, Netflix. I will decide what I like and don't like.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you don't like it, like, oh, I do like it. I'm going to go against Netflix. I love this show. It's brilliant. Well, rubbish, but...
Well, I absolutely loved Hollywood, and I'm really, really, really hoping that they'll do another season. So... let us know what you thought on social media about Hollywood. We'd love to know what you thought. Did you love it? Did you hate it? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Was it your thing? Was it not your thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how anyone could not like it, really, especially what's going on at the moment. I'm sure we'll talk about the George Floyd thing shortly. I'm sure we will. But, you know, what's going on in the world at the moment and how racist Hollywood was. I mean, it's got everything. It's just a brilliant series.
I feel like Ryan Murphy did a wonderful thing by showing everyone what could have been, and I feel like that was a great message. And you know, just because it didn't happen in the past doesn't mean that it can't happen now.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why they call it Hollywood, isn't it?
What would you rate it out of 5, do you think?
Well, I mean, I can't go any higher than 5, can I? I'll give it a 6 otherwise, but no, it's got to be a 5, isn't it? It's got to be 5. Brilliant, faultless. Loved it.
Yeah. And it's a 5-star from me, so please let us know what you thought. I know I keep banging on about it, but if you could go and follow us on Instagram and give us a follow on Twitter and then leave us some comments and stuff, we'd love to hear what you thought. And please, whatever you do, keep supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. We cannot express this enough.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if I can do a little cheeky plug, I do have my own podcast. It's called Life's a Pitch, and I recently done an interview with my friend Alex Pryor, who is a black man, and it's a predominantly football podcast. Don't get me wrong, we did discuss racism, and it's not just a American problem. Racism, it's a world problem, and a fight against racism.
Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We hope you have enjoyed this episode about Hollywood, and we will see you next week.
And next week we are going to be discussing
The Wrong Missy. Yeah.
Wrong Missy.
Almost.
Comedy film.
Yay! I feel like we need a bit of cheering up, to be honest, Johnny, in this world.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do actually, and I've no doubt this film is going to be either hilariously funny or we're going to come back and go, what was that?
I know what you mean. I've watched the trailer and I'm a bit sceptical, but we will soon find out. So if you, you know, if you're into comedy films, and I think you should be at the moment, go and give The Wrong Missy a watch, because that's what we're watching next. And then next week, we can have a good old chinwag.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it this weekend and see what it's all about. It looks amusing, but it's going to be one of them, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Stay safe, everyone. Have a great week.
Yep. Take care, guys.